Now, new numbers from the U.S. Department of Labor show that 10 million American workers have filed for unemployment benefits over the last couple of weeks. Two-thirds of those came last week alone. Some of those people didn't just lose their jobs, they lost their health insurance along with it. According to the Economic Policy Institute, 3.5 million workers likely lost their employer-provided care in the last 2 weeks. That means they could be on the hook for high medical bills or even denied potentially life-saving treatment. Those people do have some options for coverage, but they're not quite perfect, according to many sources. Meanwhile, some public health experts say the coronavirus pandemic is exposing weaknesses in America's healthcare system, in particular, a lack of funding. Tom Oliver is a professor of population health sciences at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He's also director of the UW Master of Public Health program. Tom, good to have you back on the show.
Thanks so much, Rob. I would correct. I was director of the Master of Public Health program, but my wonderful colleague, Ajay Sethi, is the current program director. But yes, it's a program that's near and dear to my heart, and we're very engaged in this really compelling set of problems that this pandemic has presented us.
Gotcha. Well, let's start with the public health side of things. And I know some public health experts are out there saying right now, okay, we were telling you this when we didn't have a pandemic. Our public health system is underfunded. The early warning, the early prevention and treatment, we just don't have the resources. Is there something to that?
Well, there's an easy answer and there's some more complicated answers. They're all yes. The easy answer is that traditional public health occurs through government and at all levels, national and state and local level, public health receives a very tiny proportion of the tax dollars and the personal spending on health services. Estimates are that about 2.5 cents of every dollar spent go to public health. So just to put real numbers on that, it's under $300 per person in the United States towards public health, $11,000 per person per year for personal health care. The other thing about it is the CDC, who finally everybody knows what that agency is, if they didn't, the Centers for Disease Control down in Atlanta, their funding in the last decade has actually dropped. There was a little bump a couple of years ago, but that was mostly to help with the other big pandemic that we have in this country, which is the opioid epidemic. So really, the gross basic funding for the public health infrastructure is no better and really has been slipping in many years. It's a more complicated answer about where does public health come from? And I think the question, are we investing appropriately in the places where health is either created or harmed? That includes quality education. Can people get high quality education and complete their degrees? Do they have access to affordable and nutritious food? Do they have safe and affordable housing? Do we limit air pollution and other unsafe environmental conditions? Are there safe bike paths and lanes to walk to school? And you just mentioned in your intro, do we have access to timely and effective health care? I would say we're underinvesting in a number of those areas in this society. And we're seeing when we compare ourselves to other wealthy countries around the world that we do much worse in many of these health indicators, in part because of underinvestment in some of those non-health care sectors. And then there's finally, you know, I think when you say public health, we're really talking about prevention, getting ahead of problems before they occur. And that's even more complicated because, and I think the current pandemic really brings this out. Where does actually prevention occur and who provides those services? So right now, if you have a few hundred dollars for a ventilator in an intensive care unit, you can save the life of someone who would go on to have a very long life and be a very productive worker and has family and other things. And that would be a tremendous investment. Do we have affordable life-saving drugs like vaccines and EpiPens and insulin, blood pressure medications, things like that? Are there enough paramedics in the field and in the emergency departments where a quick intervention could prevent long-term disabilities or even death? Do we have a good primary care system where those people can, nurses and social workers and doctors can counsel victims on getting their vaccines, not smoking, having a healthy diet and exercise, and refer them to mental health services? And then speaking of mental health, that's a huge area of public health and prevention around preventing depression, severe mental illness, domestic violence, substance abuse. I bet we're going to see increases in every single one of those things as this pandemic goes on. So that's a long-winded answer to say in many, many dimensions, we are not well positioned to stave off and prevent very serious problems for individuals, for families, and for communities.
I want to zoom in on one of the points you mentioned there, and that's access to health care, an acute issue right now, as I was talking about earlier, with big booms in unemployment, a lot of people having employer-based health care, not everybody, but a lot of people. What is the impact of that going to be now with people losing that health care?
Yeah, I just looked at the data. We have almost 200,000 Wisconsinites here who have filed for unemployment insurance. And that's just people who are actually filing. There may be others who are already in the process of losing their jobs. There's tens of thousands more who are getting cut back in their hours of work. So access to employer-sponsored coverage is going to be a problem. Many of those people ought to be able to get onto the Medicaid program or Badger Care in Wisconsin for people who do not have a present income. And others, if they have some savings, could potentially be able to buy into the Affordable Care Act state marketplaces. But again, that's and get substantial federal subsidies, but that still requires probably thousands of dollars throughout the course of a year that a lot of people, if they're not working, will not have available to them. So this is really hitting. I couldn't get the data on how many people are coming onto the public health insurance programs, but I bet we'll see very dramatic increases shortly to programs that already cover over a million people here in Wisconsin.
We're talking about how the U.S. funds its public health system and whether the coronavirus shows we've been underfunding it and looking at the healthcare impacts of job loss now. Tom Oliver is our guest, professor of population health sciences at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see more investment in public health and preventive care? Are you experiencing this right now, losing a job, getting cut back in hours one way or another, that leading to a loss of your current health care coverage? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're taking a look at how America's public health system is faring during the COVID-19 pandemic. Tom Oliver is our guest, professor of population health sciences at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like the U.S. was equipped to deal with the coronavirus, or were we caught off guard? Do you want to see a public health spending increase in the country in anticipation of whatever the next health challenge might be? And on a personal level, has the economic impact changed your situation, led to a job loss maybe that lost you your own personal health care coverage? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. David is with us in Ironwood, Michigan. David, hello.
I'd say now is the time to vote Bernie Sanders to give him more political leverage to get health care for all. And as far as I'm retirement age, and our retirement account took a huge hit. So it's just like, I don't know what we're going to do. I mean,
David, thanks a lot for the call. Tom, we've talked to you about the various alternative approaches to how we pay for healthcare in the U.S. a lot over the years. This has been a debate in the Democratic primary, Medicare for all versus various other updates to the Affordable Care Act. What are you watching for in that particular call for Medicare for all?
Well, I think the call brings to the question of what is our national and state response going to be to this massive crisis? Are we going to respond like Americans did 80 years ago in the early 1930s in the Great Depression and realize that we are all in this together and we need to provide some basic guarantees to health care and some basic income to all Americans, regardless of how we think about they ended up in these dire straits? Or are we going to really continue down the path we have in the last few decades of really great divides between a relative few of us who do very well and increasingly do better while many other people are slipping behind? Medicare for all is not the only way we can take care of everybody. We can fill in, as many other countries do, with private and public insurance, but we have to get to universal health care clearly as part of the solution. And I think that's where the caller is really on target there.
Thanks for the call. We're going out of Mike with us in Green Bay. Mike, hello.
Hello. Yes, help me to understand how we were to be prepared for this particular disease and needing so many ventilators when our present staffing of ventilators, and even more so, was enough to handle the load for the past however many years a ventilator was invented. And then how would we prepare for next quotation pandemic, and what equipment will we need then?
Mike, thanks a lot for the call. Tom, these things in some ways are unpredictable. How can we prepare for the unexpected?
Well, I think we have a lot of good thinking that went into this over a long period of time, really going back to 9/11 and even before that, 20 years ago or more. But even recently, as the Obama administration handed off to the Trump administration, they had very clear warnings about what could happen in the event that a contagious disease took off around the globe. And even last year, the Department of Health and Human Services did a full simulation for many months, ending in October, just as the thing was taking off in China, really creating scenarios. What the question about ventilators is, how many people are getting sick all at once? And it's the big wave. Right now, the U.S. has over a quarter of the world's confirmed cases of coronavirus. And so the fact that they're emerging so rapidly means that the supply, even if it's around the world, it's there, or even across the country, it's not in the places where people are getting sick. And about 10 to 25% of all people who catch this are needing to be hospitalized, and a large number of them need ventilators. And it really is a life or death situation. So this kind of planning and having this national stockpile that sat there, but in fact has been quite untended and not replenished, is a big, serious problem at the moment.
Thanks a lot for that call. Tom joins us now in Madison. Tom, hello.
Good afternoon. You know, we shouldn't have been caught by surprise on any of this. We've been arguing about health care. We've been arguing about education. We've been arguing about internet access, accessibility. None of this stuff should have been a surprise. We are now suffering the consequence. This country was woefully unprepared, and hundreds of thousands of people are probably going to pay for it with their lives. I don't want to hear anybody say, let's go back to the way things were. We cannot afford to do this. This is a transformative moment that we must completely remake our political system, our education system, our social system, and our healthcare system.
Tom, thanks a lot for that call. Tom Oliver, in our last couple of minutes, let's focus in on the public health and healthcare system. Do you see this as a transformative moment?
I hope so. I mean, the real question, other than funding, this is a lot more than just about money or do we have enough qualified health professionals on the job. It's about, will our government officials and leaders in the private sector seek out and heed evidence and advice from public health experts? As the caller mentioned, this should not have caught anybody by surprise, and in fact didn't. It's simply that the people who have the power to really invest in public health and try to look out for all Americans, including many who are in very vulnerable economic and social situations, we have to have leadership to really get ahead of these problems. And we're going to see that play out, how the U.S. Works out in contrast to many other countries where there was a lot earlier and more proactive leadership. But I will say,
go ahead.
If I could say one last thing about this, you know, public health and prevention are simply undervalued. And it's because all of the pain comes right now in terms of money and restrictions on civil liberties and private property and corporate profits. And all the gains come sometime in the future, and they're unknown. And so people don't think, I'll be the one whose life is saved or who doesn't suffer a lifelong disability thanks to this prevention. So we need to really appreciate what it means to work upstream ahead of these problems, not just in healthcare, but outside in the rest of our society in terms of good jobs, good education, and safe environmental conditions.
Tom, thanks a lot for joining us today. That's Tom Oliver, professor of population health sciences at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He joined us today for a look at the challenges the coronavirus is posing to America's public health system.